नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्याचार्य जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः आनन्दलीलामय विग्रहाय हिमालय दिव्य च विष्णुराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रसप्रदाय चित्तांजनराय नमो नमस्ते चित्तांजनराय नमो नमस्ते चित्तांजनराय नमो नमस्ते चित्तांजनराय नमो नमस्ते हरे कृष्ण. So, today we'll continue from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 7. And the title of Chapter 7 is Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. Yesterday, Tuesday, we did text 140 and a part of 141. So we'll continue 141, and by the mercy of Sri Sri Hare Krishna and the devotees and the parampara, we'll continue, if that's possible, to 142 also. So I'll begin by reading the text of 141, that is Adi Lila chapter 7, text 141. So here's the text. Bhagavan prapti hetu ye kari upaya shravanadi bhakti krishna prapti ra sahaya. Translation: It is only by devotional service, beginning with hearing, that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only means to approach Him. Purport: Mayavadi philosophers are satisfied simply to understand Brahman to be the sum total of knowledge. But Vaishnava philosophers not only know in detail about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also know how to approach Him directly. The method for this is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as 9 kinds of devotional service, beginning with hearing. Shravanam Ketanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 7th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 23. The 9 kinds of devotional service are hearing about Krishna, chanting about Him, remembering Him, offering service to His lotus feet, offering Him worship in the temple, offering prayers to Him, working as His servant, making friendship with Him, and unreservedly surrendering to Him. One can directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by executing these 9 kinds of devotional service, of which hearing about the Lord is the most important, Shravanadi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very favorably stressed the importance of this process of hearing. According to his method, if people are simply given a chance to hear about Krishna, certainly they will develop gradually their dormant awareness or love of Godhead. Shravanadi Sudha Chite Karaye Udaya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya, Chapter 22, Text 107. Love of God is dormant in everyone, and if one is given a chance to hear about the Lord, certainly that love develops. Our Krishna consciousness movement acts on this principle. We simply give people the chance to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give them prasadam to eat. And the actual result is that all over the world, people are responding to this process and becoming pure devotees of Lord Krishna. We have opened hundreds of centers all over the world, just to give people in general a chance to hear about Krishna and accept Krishna's prasadam. These two processes can be accepted by anyone, even a child. It doesn't matter whether one is poor or rich, learned or foolish, black or white, old or still a child. Anyone who simply hears about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and takes prasadam is certainly elevated to the transcendental position of devotional service. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, the text again, this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 141. It is only by devotional service, beginning with hearing, that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only means to approach Him. So, Lord Chaitanya is still describing, but I'm saying still because, of course, he started speaking, which is in the previous text, to the Mayavad philosophers. And this speech is also for our own benefit and benefit of generations to come. That it is only by devotional service, beginning with Shravana, hearing, that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Lord Chaitanya says that is the only means to approach Him. So it's underscoring this statement, it's underscoring the importance of devotional service. One cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any other way. One has to serve. One has to agree to be a servant. One has to understand that one's constitutional position is being a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one also needs to understand that by serving devotionally, that's how we begin to be joyful, peaceful, and the very things that we want in life, which gives peace of mind, that we're actually going to get. The Lord relates to us through service. And so it is a give and take. Of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead being the source of everything, one cannot beat the Supreme Personality of Godhead if He decides to bestow boons. All boons come from Him. But devotees do not do service wanting boons at all. We do service, we're supposed to do it out of our hearts. And therefore, as later on we'll hopefully get into this, by the mercy of you listening and the deities all over and the parampara, we'll get into the kinds of devotional service, how it starts and how it progresses. So, to go to the purpose, the Prabhupada says, Mayavadi philosophers are satisfied simply to understand Brahman to be the sum total of knowledge. Now, this has already been refuted by Lord Chaitanya in the text before, text 140, that to understand Brahman, and in this case, impersonal Brahman, the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be everything about knowledge, is to only know part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We all understand that the Lord is the sum total of everything, but then the effulgence of the Lord is only a part that's just coming from the Lord. So anyone who says that is all there is to God, obviously is very, very, very short of knowledge. The personal aspect of the Lord is cut off by a person who thinks that way. So Srila Prabhupada says that Vaishnava philosophers or devotees not only know in detail about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they also know how to approach Him directly. Devotees know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a personality. He is not something abstract, like light only, the way Mayavad philosophers look at it, or their understanding is. The method for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in these 9 kinds of devotional service. And they are hearing about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada says that hearing is the most important. in other lectures that he's given, Srila Prabhupada said the first thing to do is to hear. Hearing increases our faith. Hearing makes it possible for us to understand a little bit and a little more and a little more as we keep hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that awakens our soul. This is food for the soul when we're hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed the importance of hearing. Srila Prabhupada said, according to his method, the method of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if people are simply given a chance to hear about Krishna, then certainly, without a doubt, they will gradually develop their dormant awareness of love of Godhead. Their dormant awareness or love of Godhead. So, the dormant awareness means the awareness is there, but it's like in a sleeping state. So the awareness is already there. Very, very, very important to understand that. It's not that when somebody hears about Krishna, then the awareness is kind of planted into the person. Everybody is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everybody as a spirit soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the awareness of God is already there. But because we have come to this material world, because we have connected with the material energy, we have forgotten who we are. Srila Prabhupada says it so many times, some people take it a little bit hard, especially those who are not devotees, when he makes the statement, I have come to remind you of what you have forgotten. He said that several times, especially in public. I've come to remind you of what you have forgotten. What have we forgotten? We've forgotten who we are. We have connected ourselves based on body, family, society, nationality, and so on. And then some people, even worse, have made science their God. Everything the science says is what's true. If science hasn't said it, then we don't believe it. Much of what we learn in the Shastra that we have is over and above, way over and above what science knows at this point. And science claims to know a lot. But even the number of planets in this one universe is not even correct by scientists. They're still thinking there are 9 planets, and they aren't. There are more than 9 planets. So many, and of course, just a couple of centuries back, they were thinking that this very planet, the Earth, was flat. Later on, they had to change their minds. Some proof comes before the scientists ever learn that there is something different. So this process definitely goes a lot by faith, because science is not going to be able to tell you much. And so what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since he himself is God, what he says, we have to accept fully by faith. And he's saying how to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to hear about him, to chant, and to remember him, and to offer obeisances to him. We have to serve the deity, and we have to be friends with the Lord. We have to surrender everything to him unreservedly, and so on, offering prayers to him and so on. So what is our situation? Well, the 9 kinds of devotion service have been described here. But then how many people can do any of these perfectly? If anyone can do one of these services perfectly, they can go back to Godhead, if they can do it perfectly. But we can't do any one of them perfectly, and that's why this has been explained, and my Guru Maharaj talks about this, that 9 different services have been given, so that when we do any of them, any combination of them, then we're still, you know, we're able to get more and more and more spiritual credits, even if we don't master any one of them. So that is, in looking at it, that is mercy that's being given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to us. Of course, in this Yuga Dharma, the Yuga Dharma, the Yagya, is chanting the holy name of Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that is the cornerstone of our way of connecting. That is our eternal religion for Kali Yuga. It's our eternal sacrifice. As long as we're in Kali Yuga, that is the sacrifice that's there. So no other sacrifices are necessary but the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how does one know to chant the holy name of the Lord? They have to hear first. They have to hear the mantra from the lips of someone who's connected with Krishna. And they also have to hear why they chant the mantra. And they have to know the meaning of the mantra. This is all explained. But when it's explained, in order to understand it, you have to hear what it is. And therefore, hearing, whichever way we look at it, we cannot get away from it. To actually grow in Krishna consciousness, hearing is more important. And then, from the process of hearing, we do the other services, which is the chanting, which is the offering prayers, which is the offering worship, and so on, working as a servant, making friends with them, and surrendering everything to him. So the first one is to hear, and the last one is unreservedly surrendering to him. From hearing and from the other actions which I described, the other seven processes, then we get to a point of growing so that we can in fact see ourselves as Manasa Deho Geho. As Jayadeva Goswami is saying, I offer you my mind, my possessions, my house, everything, my body, I offer everything to you, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So that is unreservedly surrendering to him. So the Parampara have already taught us through songs and through their own actions how to surrender to him. So Srila Prabhupada says here, one can directly approach the Lord through these processes, and the dormant awareness will be developed. So, Srila Prabhupada again stresses that the love of God is in everyone, but it's dormant. And when we're given a chance to hear about the Lord, then that love will develop. So, he's saying Krishna consciousness movement, not only ISKCON, he generalizes it, he says Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, whichever movement spreads that is based on Krishna consciousness, that is acting on the same principle, Srila Prabhupada is saying here. We give people a chance to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then prasadam to eat. Someone who doesn't know much about Krishna consciousness might enjoy the taste of the spiritual food, prasadam, but then it works. As Lokanath Maharaj likes to say, it does its work. Once we eat, then it begins to purify the body as well as the soul. Prasadam is food for the body in terms of nutrition, but it's also food for the soul because it is Krishna's mercy. So all over the world, this is how people are responding to this process and becoming devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so to hear, or for people to connect the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it takes hearing. Well, if there's hearing, then there has to be someone who has to speak for the rest of people who want to hear. So, just as hearing is important, material to be made available is also important. Because when we talk about hearing, then hearing about what? Well, we have to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to awaken our dormant love. But the person that's speaking, and I'm saying all of this to make a point about Srila Prabhupada himself, we have been extremely, extremely fortunate. If we look at his life, he spent a lot of time, especially the evening hours or the night time when others were sleeping, that he was translating these texts that many of us would never have been able to read, because I, for one, would never know Sanskrit. I don't know, maybe by the Lord's mercy somehow I would have gotten to know, but I certainly don't know Sanskrit now. And so for him to translate the English and then bring it to the West to preach made it possible for us to finally hear something about the Supreme Personality of God. And some of us were hungry to know God more. I know I was one of them, hungry to know God more, and weren't getting much from the religious institutions that we were involved in at first. So Srila Prabhupada has given us a huge blessing by making such sublime transcendental knowledge available around the world. Not in the United States only, but around the world. He went around the world 12 times, from what I've been told. And his devotees also helped to establish these centers. And as he's saying here in this purport, we have established hundreds of centers all around the world just to give people a chance to hear about Krishna and to accept Krishna's prasadam. And these two processes, hearing and eating prasadam, can be done by anyone, whether they're poor, whether they're rich, whether they're learned, whether they're foolish, whatever race, whatever color they are, whatever age they are, does not matter. It is possible to break through all of those material barriers and of what people are connected to so much. And of course, he always has said, you're not the body. You're not the body. We are the spirit soul. And the spirit soul transcends all of these other designations materially. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is from reference to this particular purport that Srila Prabhupada brought up. Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 107. So Srila Prabhupada said here that, I'll read 106 first. Srila Prabhupada says, you know, Madhya 22, 106, the spiritual activities of hearing, chanting, remembering, and so forth, they are the natural characteristics of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada translates this that they are the natural characteristics of devotional service. That's what devotional service is about. And then the next text, 107, it translates to, pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of living entities. It's already there. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens. So these are two texts from Madhya Lila chapter 22, 106 and 107 that are supporting the fact that these nine processes are the natural characteristics. This is what devotees do naturally. And that the love for Krishna is already there. It's a question of uncovering the dirt that's been on there, the material dirt that's been on there for years. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said in Sri Shastaka, the very first text, the very first verse, Chito Dapanam Ajana Bhava Mahadabhagni Nirvapanam, removing or uncovering the dust, taking out the dust, so that the pure love of God, the pure love of Krishna, Krishna Prema, finally shines forth and purity comes forth. So, and of course it's done by Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, which is also said in the very last text of Srimad Bhagavatam, that one should be involved in Sri Krishna Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, as far as devotional service by these nine processes, the devotional service by these nine processes is concerned, there are, in practice, two processes guiding all of these nine. In other words, these are processes, and I will talk about them in a minute, they concern the consciousness of the devotee. So one of them is regulative devotional service, and the other one is spontaneous devotional service. So, in Madhya Lila 22.109, again connected to this, what we're talking about, it says, those who have not attained the platform of spontaneous attachment in devotional service, they render devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and according to the regulative principles in the revealed scriptures. And this kind of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti, or as the full name is, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So, there is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, regulative devotional service, and then there is spontaneous devotional service. So, in the beginning, one has to hear from a bona fide spiritual master, so the process of hearing comes again. This hearing and acting on what the person has heard from the spiritual master then begins the process of uncovering, which ends in love of Godhead. So this is a favorable process for advancing in devotional service when one hears from the spiritual master. So then, according to the hearing, they would know that they have to chant. So if they act on it, then they will start chanting. And by chanting, it's like in an advertisement in radio or TV, first companies that have a lot of money, they would put an advertisement and pay a lot of money for that particular advertisement to be repeated several times during the day or evening to those who are listening. And TV is the same thing, television, the same thing, advertisement. Now, it affects the subconscious. Whatever product that's being put out in the advertisement can in fact be registered in the subconscious, and when the person needs something like that and there are other products there, they might, or it's a very high chance, they will remember that particular one that was advertised to them, and if they see it in the store, they will be drawn to that particular one. That's what advertisements do to people's minds. So when we chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Especially the devotees that chant 16 rounds, 108 times, repeating the mantra and doing that 16 times. They will pronounce the words, the 16 words made up of Hare Krishna and Rama, 27,000 times. A little more than 27,000 times in the japa of 16 rounds. No company advertises 27,000 times in 2 hours. There isn't a company that certainly I wouldn't know of that particular company here on this earth. Therefore, the advertisement, in a manner of speaking, of Hare Krishna and Rama to us is extremely effective. Even with this point that Srila Prabhupada has given at this time so much mercy, and the chanting has been reduced from the original 64 rounds to 16 rounds. Still, 16 rounds is 27,000 times talking about Hare Krishna and Rama. And therefore, that is very, very, very heavy spiritual advertisement to the mind and to the subconscious, to the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And therefore, we are fortunate that we are being advised to chant, and we are taking the process of chanting seriously. Because from chanting, so first hearing from the spiritual master, chanting, and then remembering. So the, you know, non-devotee companies or companies around the world already know that when they advertise, we're going to remember their product. So now, when we have advertised to ourselves by following the spiritual master's instruction to chant, and we do 27,000 times of Hare Krishna and Rama, we're also going to remember Krishna. So by chanting, the third principle, which is remembering, is automatically satisfied. We talk about Krishna, we chant Krishna's name, we will remember Krishna. When we associate with devotees who are doing the same thing again, just by looking at what they're doing and hearing what they're saying, because they're also chanting, we will remember Krishna. And therefore, it is to our advantage to take this Yugadham, the way of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead through hearing and chanting, very seriously, because it helps us to remember and then engage in deity worship and so on under the instructions of the spiritual master. So, Srila Prabhupada also says in this, not this particular purport, but the purport to the reference that I'm talking about, Madhya 22.109, Srila Prabhupada says, one has to render service, this service, out of love only. Ahoitiki apatiata. As it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savaipunsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Bahuksaje. Ahoitiki apatiata Yayatma supersedati. So, Ahoitiki and apatiata. There should not be any ulterior motives when we're chanting the holy name of the Lord or when we're serving Him. We shouldn't want something from it. Material things. I have done this, therefore, Lord, give me that. As some of us, unfortunately, when we're in the different religions, we were demanding things from the Lord. Our prayers were, God, give me this, God, give me that, God, give me this, God, give me that. And if it doesn't come quickly, then we fast in order to force the Lord to give it to us more quickly, as if we know what we need. So the Lord knows what we need. We just know what we want. But the Lord knows what we need. And the spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who tells us what we need is to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to chant His name and then serve according to the other principles of service, of devotional service. So we need to serve out of love. But since we are so covered up, we have to be given Vaidhi Bhakti instructions. And all we have to do is follow the instructions. Now, when we do something for a while, that's anything. After a while, it becomes habit. So from the instructions, taking the instructions seriously, then our service becomes habit. And after habit, it grows to liking the service. And then from liking the service, we develop love for the service, and therefore love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Vaidhi Bhakti is extremely important. That is the start for those of us who are covered up, those of us who are conditioned and in the material world at this time. So, devotional service must be without ulterior motives. Then, gradually, one can rise to the platform of spontaneous loving service, like we describe here, through habits, to liking it, and then to loving it. So, regulative devotional process, very, 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 very important. See, Prabhupada gave one analogy. He says, learning to use a typewriter, you have to follow regulative principles of the typing book, what the book says to do. How one places his fingers in the keys in such the way that it's said in the book, and then practice. But then when one becomes really good at typing, then he can type very swiftly. He can type correctly, even without looking at the keys. An expert typist just looks at the paper they're supposed to type, and they don't look at the keyboard at all. And they still type, and they type very fast. But that person didn't start by typing very fast. That person started first by learning how to, and doing it little by little by little. And then finally, they got to a point where they could remember where the keys were. And they got to a point where they're using very, very, very little brain power to remember where the keys were. It's like the fingers just go there naturally, and then they develop speed for it, and now they can do it, and can do it easily. At least for somebody who doesn't type, a person that's typing, they're kind of amazed how easily they're able to do it. But that person has been practicing, and they got to a point where you can call them advanced in what they do. Same thing for devotional service. We start by the spiritual master's instruction, following it, doing it, sometimes making mistakes, sometimes the way the mind is traveling all over the place when we're trying to chant. But Srila Prabhupada says, pull it back, pull it back. When we pull it back to the holy name, that alone is progress. So we shouldn't be too worried if the mind travels. The mind has been traveling for ages. That's just the way it is. It goes from one point to another, one thing to another, good or bad, whatever thing, they just think. So even in chanting, if we have so many other things to take the mind away from traveling to different other things, like involving the senses more, writing the mantra on a piece of paper and looking at it while we're chanting, looking at a picture of a spiritual master or Srila Prabhupada or the deity, or when you're in the temple looking at the deity or the deities themselves or the murti of Srila Prabhupada himself and chanting there. All of those will bring our minds from roaming to, in fact, because our eyes are seeing, and the CD or whatever media that's playing Srila Prabhupada's japa, that also helping us to hear while we chant, then the more the senses are engaged, the less likely they are to move somewhere else, especially the mind, move somewhere else while we're chanting, and then the chanting becomes more fulfilling. So devotional service is not artificial. It is a process that one has to come to by rendering devotional service according to the regulative principles, and then practicing and hearing and chanting, of course, with other principles like getting up early in the morning, attending Mangalati, helping with services like washing the temple, cleaning, and so on, and cleaning oneself too. That's all very important. It's all part of Vaidhi Bhakti. And then through this process, we will slowly grow and then get to the point where Krishna and Guru are pleased with us. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I'll stop here. It's almost 11:35, and open up for questions or comments. Hare Krishna. It is important to be initiated by a spiritual master for a number of reasons. In fact, we can say for several reasons. Accepting a spiritual master and accepting discipleship proves to Krishna that you're serious about the process. That's one of the things. It also, of course, gives the spiritual master the opportunity to show mercy to the disciple, because the spiritual master is responsible for the disciple's journey back to Godhead. Once the disciple has been accepted, and he or she as a disciple has accepted that particular personality as guru. So that's very, very, very important. It is the connection, as you said, and said correctly, to the parampara, getting initiation. Initiation, though, begins from the heart. When we take this process seriously, I'm talking about uninitiated devotees, seriously, then from our sincerity in doing service and hearing and chanting, then Krishna gives us opportunity to connect with Guru that we will be interested in taking shelter of. So by the mercy of Krishna that we get Guru, and then when we take initiation, then the Guru instructs us, as we were saying yesterday, that the Guru plays a role. Srila Prabhupada gave the analogy of like glasses or spectacles, to be able to see through Guru, see clearly. Because without Guru, then our vision of God is very, very, very blurred, very obfuscated. We can't see properly. Therefore, it is through Guru. So Guru's instruction, when taken seriously, of course the condition is we have to take it seriously and act on it. Then we will have the opportunity to grow and then develop, eventually, love of Godhead. Okay, we can add more to it, but is that satisfactory enough, or you want to ask a follow-up question, or there's something I missed that you want me to stress? There is a lot actually about this, a lot about how we ourselves have to think about this in terms of our own consciousness. So you mentioned that sometimes there are devotees or there are people who come in. Some maybe are family members, and they have heard the mantra, they have been inside the temple, yet they don't seem to be moved to do anything involving even beginning the chant, Hare Krishna and Rama in the mantra. And then there are some people that come in, and immediately they take to the chanting of the holy name, they seem to just flow with it. Well, it all depends on the credits that they coming in with in the previous life. There are some devotees who in the previous lives were devotees, but they didn't make it back to Godhead, and therefore they have come back to continue. As Narada Muni has said, there is no loss or diminution. One person is not successful in terms of earning enough mercy to go back to Godhead, that they will continue, and when they continue, that is coming back in another lifetime, in another body, the transcendental system sets it up so that they will in fact be at some point in their growth, in their physical growth, come in contact with Krishna again. Such a person, when they come to the temple, because they already are at some point from the previous lifetime, they got to a certain point, the continuation makes it possible for them to do some things very quickly because they have been doing it in their previous life. And then there are some family members who don't have that opportunity to continue because their previous lives were not like that. Remember, our material families are from all different families before. Sometimes, or most of the time, they are not the same family members from a previous life. They've come from other situations, sometimes even from other universes, who have come now to be members of our family. So they are fortunate. This is the way we should look at it. Even if they haven't started chanting, remember the processes, 9 processes? The first one is hearing. There is no doubt they have heard. Now, when they will start chanting, that is not on us. If they've heard, we can try to get them to do a few more things in service. If they don't, we shouldn't worry about it. They have heard the name. They have heard the holy name. And the holy name has planted the seed of cleansing. So many weeds that's there covering their own spiritual soul. It's there. It's the process has already started. Even if they haven't said anything yet to your hearing. There's so many stories. Actually, one of our gurus, and I think it's in the Dumya Swami, his mother wasn't so interested in Krishna consciousness, but then she got very sick, and she was beginning to think that that sickness may take her life. Now, there was Bhagavad Gita that Maharaj gave to her some time back, and she just tossed it somewhere in the house. Somehow she got hold of it again and read, and to Maharaj's surprise, the last time they talked, she told him, "I'm going to Krishna." Believe it or not. And it blew Maharaj's mind. How did all of that come? Maharaj wasn't even sure. He had no idea that she had actually taken up the book and started reading it. And now was chanting. Until she actually told him, "I'm going back to Godhead." By the way, she did leave her body. And but that's, you know, a huge blessing for her. These things, in terms of how a person finally connects with the process and starts acting on the process, that's not so much in our control. You may meet someone who in the previous life has already filed some spiritual credits, was a devotee, didn't make it back to spiritual to the spiritual world, and if you talk to him again, he'd immediately take on the process because they can continue. They are continuing from a previous life. You may not know, but that is the transcendental system working through you to get the person started again in this lifetime. And then there are some who are just starting now, and so they're starting now because they are, you know, their activities are kind of limited, but it won't be limited forever. You know, another lifetime they will maybe take it more seriously. They will continue wherever they got to. So that is the process. You know, eventually everybody gets the mercy, but it's in different stages and a different rates at which we go. Hare Krishna. About Bhakti Teta Swami? Okay, is this Shyamrasika Mataji? Oh, okay. That's sad. All right, so with the permission of the devotees listening, I'll say a little bit about my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Teta Swami. I owe him a debt of gratitude forever because he was the one that opened my eyes to Krishna consciousness. Now, I'll say just a quick minute about how I came to, and then I'll talk a little about himself on a personal level, what he's like on a personal level, away from, you know, devotees, away from the limelight, so to speak. I came to Krishna consciousness by hearing a lecture from him on cassette, and then I was very impressed with the lecture because, you know, transcendental knowledge is what it is. It's just higher than anything else. So then I went to see him. And through hearing him speak personally, you know, first it was a cassette tape, now it's hearing him where he was speaking, and then going to see him one-on-one appointment, he gave me the science of spiritual. He asked about my background, and I told him my background is science. I've been teaching in universities, and then he just gave me the science of self-realization, And that's where I learned about the Mahamantra from the Science of Self-Realization. And then after that, got a Bhagavad Gita and then started reading and taking, also going to lectures from him. Now, when we were in Washington, D.C. at the time, my wife and myself, we moved to Gidanagri, which is in Port Royal, Pennsylvania. And when we moved, because she and I didn't have any children, so we hadn't started a family yet. We were just newly married 2 years before. So we moved to Gidanagri, and the two of us lived in the same building with them. So we were serving him. Our room was right below his room. He was up on the first floor. We were in the basement in the room directly below. Now, he is obviously a spiritual public figure. He's been around the world, met several presidents, several leaders, high court judges, given so many lectures as many other gurus do around the world. He's done similar. But when he's back, like when he comes to Gidanagri in the house that he stays, he's very quiet. It's a big difference from the way he is outside in the public or in the limelight. And then when he is inside, he's very, very, very quiet. He eats once a day in the afternoon around 2 o'clock. So in the morning, from after that time, he's usually reading. He will take some calls. And even taking calls is very interesting. He has some other metaphysical gifts too, given to him by Krishna. For example, some of it, you know, it's little stuff, but some of it is little stuff and some of it is quite amazing. When the phone rings, we have to pick up. He doesn't pick up, and then we pick up and tell him who's on the phone, and then he'll pick up and talk. So that's the normal thing. But sometimes when the phone rings, you pick up and you said, okay, so ask the person to hold the line, and we're going to tell Maharaj who the person is. But before we get there, he tells them, it's this person, right? And we say, yeah. So many times he actually knows who calls even before we tell him, but he just lets us tell him. So he had that ability to know. He had quite a few metaphysical gifts. Other things like, before his diet changed, this is when he got really sick, and then of course they had to change his diet. But before then, every Ekadashi, he fasts the whole day. He doesn't eat in the Ekadashi. And by 3, 4 o'clock thereabouts, his normal lunch is 2 o'clock. So by 3 to 4, he's actually getting quite hungry. And so we had a buzzer. Like, he doesn't call the phone, he just pushes a button, and then there's another one in there, and we can hear him, he just talks. So then I'll call him, he breaks it, come up. Then I will go, and he says, I'm actually hungry, but I'm not going to eat now, so let's go to town. And so we'll get in the car, and I'll just drive to town. At that time, we're using a very small, beat-up car. And we'll go, and he will go shopping. Now, apart from personal stuff, which he's with a man, then of course, you know, a male body person, he'll buy, you know, things that for his own person, especially underclothes. But if he's, like, my wife is around, then he would never buy stuff like that. So we would go to places like Home Depot, we go to, you know, other places, and what he's thinking about is buying a few things to decorate, either in the temple, Gidanagri temple, or where he himself was staying. He was expert at interior decoration. He was expert at it. And he also explained one day in his lectures, he said, where I come from, we decorate. He meant the spiritual world. He said, where you come from, he just put it that way. You know, one of the things he used to do before he came here under this particular plane was decoration. And he was very, very, very good at it. Now, I'll just speak a couple more minutes and stop. At the store, like a place like Home Depot, if he wants to get decorative stones and, you know, other things for making small fountain, water fountain, things like that, he'll just buy all of those things. And this is one example he did. And he would assemble it in the store. So he wants to see the picture of what it would look like in the store before he even, you know, buys it. So he puts it all together, and then he'll look at it, and then he'll walk back and look at it directly, and then walk to the side and look at it from an angle, and walk to another side, look at it from an angle, and then come back and push this, and then go back again and look. He was very particular. about how the whole thing is supposed to look like when he's done. So he would do all of that, and sometimes we spend as much as 4 hours in one store. One time we did that, of course. And remember, as a Kadisi, he's fasting, so by the time we come home, it's 8 o'clock, 9, going on, you know, 10, and then he immediately takes things out and starts putting it together wherever he wants to put it, especially if it's in the house. Temple, by that time, is, you know, closed and locked up. But if he's buying for where he lives, the Institute house, then he will start decorating. He doesn't put things off. He will do it there and then. Brings it in, sets it up, and makes sure it's all working. Look at the decoration and how what he's bought fits into the decoration, and then it finishes off. It was fun, actually, fun being with him and doing things like that. But I could go on and on and on, but I'll just stop here. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, are there any other comments about the text? Or Guru Maharaj, if they want to know still?
Yeah. So your question was about, well, actually that question was a comment about what was going on, so much Maya happening in ISKCON, and he was concerned about that, and he asked Krishna to take on some of the reactions, the negative reactions that would come to devotees doing those kinds of things. That is accurate. That is correct. He did that. He started, but I started just before he made that statement. He was quite frustrated about what was going on in the society, especially among the leaders. A few things came up. He was given a class in Giranagari, and one disciple asked, not his disciple, but disciple of another guru, asked him about the situation with this particular devotee's guru, which had become quite notorious. It's a negative event that happened. And she was asking Bhaktitira Maharaj, as a disciple of that particular guru, what should she do? Maharaj really was going to answer her, but in trying to answer her, Maharaj became overwhelmed with just the general thoughts of what was going on in this particular sannyasi's situation and other situations sannyasis had fallen down. And so he became emotional and he couldn't continue. He just broke down and started crying right in front of all of us. It was very difficult to see him go through that. I'd seen him cry before, but I've seen him cry in gratitude. When I cry when things like this that are hurting Srila Prabhupada's organization, his society. And, you know, big leaders falling, and he just said that everybody in their own way, I'm quoting him now, says everybody, within the tears he was saying this, everybody in their own way should pray hard to Srila Prabhupada and pray hard to Krishna to be an example of purification. In other words, we should grow, try hard to grow more for the society. Srila Prabhupada has done so much for the society, and this is what's happening after he left. And then another lecture after that, he said, this one he wasn't crying, it was quite intense. Again, this was also in Giranagari, in the Sunday afternoon lecture. He said, Krishna consciousness is supposed to change us. That is, change us, make us better people. But he says, what I'm really saying, he said so many words, then he said, he came back and says, what I'm really saying is I'm tired that devotees aren't changing much. And not long after that lecture was when he made the decision to take on negativity that devotees will have to suffer for doing here in this society. So he decided to take it up. The next lecture he came, he said, actually, much of what I need to do here in this particular earth in this lifetime, I've already done. And so I don't even feel that I need the need to go on to doing the same things. I'm literally repeating myself when I give lectures. So I'm going to take on this, my last, well, I will say that as a disciple, his last show of mercy. He decided that he would take on negative reactions that devotees would suffer from what they've gone through. But he was very specific. He said, as for, you know, chanting and obeying the regulatory principles, that's on everybody. You have to do that yourselves. But the apparatus, what he was worried about. Because apparatus and what causes people to fall down a lot, especially. Fall down mostly from apparatus. And so he wanted to take on the apparatus. He said, I'm quite sure that this will probably cause me to leave my body, but I'm going to go on and do that. And so he said, I've prayed to Srila Prabhupada and I've prayed to Krishna to be used that way. And not long after that was when, you know, a lot of diseases, sugar diabetes and the cancer and, you know, so many other things, about five different things started affecting his body. Some other sannyasis and the god brothers of his tried to talk him out of that particular kind of commitment, that he should stay and, you know, not die. And he said, well, I haven't said to die, but I'm not taking back my prayer for that to be used in that way. And so, yes, I know it's a long way of saying this, but yes, he did in fact ask to take on more suffering, especially negative reactions from apparatus to the bodies. And that's what caused him to leave the body. Hare Krishna.
That much dedication to my guru, you know, but they are such an example, and we are definitely very, very blessed to have such mercy. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. And all gurus are showing their mercy to us one way or the other. They are. Okay. Any other comments, questions? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the class, and we pay obeisances. I just wanted to ask, because it's always already time up, so I was thinking that you know, we'll all make a leave from here and pay our obeisances to you. Is that okay with all the devotees? Anybody has any important question, then we can maybe take one or two. So, Prabhuji, I think, thank you so much, Prabhuji, and we look forward for your association more here on this everyday chant conference call. Vancha Kalpatrubhascha, Kripa Sindhu Evacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you again for allowing me to do this service. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Conference recording has stopped.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.